SBS Radio.
History was made last Saturday with the re-election of Benedict Leung government. We are continuing our talk with ANCA's Executive Director, Hayk Kayserian. Hayk, how the community is feeling after the election and the victory of Gladys Benedict Leung?
Thank you, Vahe. It truly was a historic day on Saturday, historic evening. I think everybody in the community was following the coverage, waiting to see if Gladys was going to be able to make history and become the first female premier to be elected as Premier of New South Wales. And she was able to achieve that. And I think the fact that during that whole count, during the day, you know, I referred to somebody, a journalist, who asked me this question the other day, that how do you measure the community's excitement or involvement? I said that it was based on the fact that the Armenian Facebook blew up. I mean, you know, Facebook is obviously not solely Armenian, but many of us follow many Armenians and have Armenian friends there. And I think regardless of where you were in the state, in the country, or even around the world, you were in some way, shape, or form following that day for Gladys, and then sharing in the spoils of the victory as soon as it was announced. When Michael Daly conceded victory and Gladys accepted it, I think that many Armenians, all Armenians to be perfectly honest, were feeling a sense of immense pride towards the achievements of Gladys, and also respect for what she had achieved, and recognition that we were part of history just by watching her achieve what she achieved.
How ANCA and Armenian community members on Saturday rallied to help Gladys's re-election campaign?
Well, it was the community that did that. And I think, you know, through Gladys's campaign team, where there were many Armenians that were working in that team, there were rallying calls to the community to sort of hand out, you know, how to vote flyers and the typical sort of assistance that you would give on election day, but it was probably on steroids in terms of the Armenian community's involvement. You know, again, just following through what people were posting and doing, and also our intimate knowledge of what everybody was doing on the day. They were populating booths, handing out flyers. There were organizations I saw during the week, like the Armenian Youth Federation, handing out, you know, flyers throughout Willoughby. There were people that were putting up posters and placards at people's homes. You know, there were people in Ryde being active to try to promote over there. People like Sarkis Yadelian, who's a local councillor there. People like, you know, Armin Arakelian, who is a branch member of her party. You know, I think in terms of how the community was assisting, they were assisting Gladys through all of these mechanisms, but also assisting some other of our friends who were vying to be elected in Parliament or re-elected into the Parliament, people who have been friendly to the Armenian community, in tune with the Armenian cause and advocates for things like the Armenian Genocide, Artsakh, local community projects, etc. A lot of them also had assistance on the ground from the Armenian community. Some of them were Liberal Party, some of them were from the Labor Party. There was assistance that I saw or heard about throughout the day, and I think that those people can feel like they contributed to the victory, a victory that, you know, Gladys was definitely the architect of, the producer of, and the director of. But I think everybody just feels like they can share in it, even if it is just congratulating her and being part of the journey, part of her journey in some way, shape, or form.
Hayk, do you think Gladys' success will encourage young Armenians to choose politics as a career choice, especially women?
I genuinely hope it does, and I genuinely think it will. I mean, I've got a 5-year-old daughter. Obviously, she was seeing my excitement on Saturday when I was following the results, and Sunday morning, you know, I had a beaming smile like many Armenians. She's not old enough yet to understand what it is that had me excited, but I'm very grateful that she's going to have a role model like Gladys to look up to, in terms of someone who has stayed true to her upbringing, her history, has always chosen to advocate that as she has risen up the political ranks, trying to make, you know, her community, her state, a better place. I think that it will inspire a lot of young people. The fact that so many young people wanted to help her, were there to celebrate with her on Saturday night, is testament to the fact that she has captured the imagination of the community. People recognize more and more how much politics impacts our everyday life. And I think it's important that Armenians are on the decision-making side of that process more and more in many countries, because, you know, as a community like ours, with an agenda like ours, with the size of us, which is not very large, it's really important to have people in places that count. So I think that it will inspire many people. And I think Gladys, with her nature as well and her approachable nature, will have a big role to play, bigger than ever now, I think, in inspiring many more to be the next Gladyses of the Armenian world.
In general, how successful was the state election for candidates who support the Armenian community?
In general, very successful. I think, first of all, in our chat before the election, I revealed that New South Wales is pretty much that bipartisan forum for us, or multi-partisan forum, whether you're Liberal, Labor, you know, Green, Conservative, Independent, etc. You do have a knowledge of Armenian issues, an intimate knowledge of Armenian issues. You recognise that you're trying to be re-elected or be elected into a parliament that has already recognised the Armenian genocide twice, despite a lot of pressure to do otherwise. You're in a building that has a khachkar dedicated to the memory of the 1.5 million Armenians who lost their lives during the Armenian genocide. You are in a parliament which has recognized the right to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh. I think knowing these things and being informed on these things by the Armenian National Committee leading into the election, it was always going to be a friendly place for us. New South Wales has for 20 years, over 20 years, stood on the side of truth and justice when it comes to Armenian issues. And we were confident that through our pre-election meetings with candidates from all sides, that was going to continue regardless of what the result was. The electorates where Armenians are populated, those that we visited prior to the elections and reported on, had people that we had met with elected into their positions, as well as many of our other friends, you know, ministers in the previous government, which is now the new government as well. They got re-elected. The Legislative Council, the upper house, is also somewhere where there were a few changes. Our friends remain in there, but also I think Damien Tudorhope got elected from the Liberal Party. He used to be the member for Epping, and he's also a very good friend of us and advocate for our issues. So I think in general, very positive. The parliament has undergone some change, but not major change. Gladys Berejiklian's leadership seems to have ensured a majority government now for the Liberal National parties. And I think that that's really a good platform for her to build on and deliver on the promises that she made to the greater community. And, you know, while we did all of the work that we had to do as the Armenian National Committee, we can't lie, as the representative of the Armenian Australian community of New South Wales, this community was definitely rooting for Gladys, and at the same time hoping that all of our friends return or are elected into parliament, regardless of what parties they are in. And the results will definitely have us beaming, you know, now that we're in the week that followed the election.
Hi, on another matter important for Australian Armenians. A couple of weeks ago, a Turkish president candidly declared what he really thinks on the Anzac. You appeared on Alan Jones' show. He didn't mince his words, and I was surprised how much he knew about the Armenian genocide.
Yeah, it was definitely, I think, 6 minutes of the sort of attention and awareness that the Armenian issue, the Armenian genocide and awareness for the Armenian genocide deserves. And Alan Jones was able to provide it on that day. It was a day where President Erdogan of Turkey made some outlandish remarks in an attempt to appeal to his very fundamentalist electoral base, because they're in the middle of an election in Turkey at the moment. He was referring to the Christchurch terrorist attacks, which has been universally condemned by everybody, including us. He showed videos of the attack to try to stoke tensions between Christians from down under, considering the terrorist was an Australian-born New Zealander, particularly targeting these groups. And he made a comment, something along the lines of, if those who visit Gallipoli to commemorate the Anzacs come with these same intentions, as in not good intentions, not peaceful intentions, like the gunman in Christchurch, they will return in coffins like their grandfathers, referring to our sacred Anzacs. And, you know, we felt it was important to add our voice to that debate, because for many years, the Armenian Australian community, in our quest to have Australia recognise the Armenian genocide, have been thwarted in part by Turkey's threatening action against the Gallipoli commemorations of our Anzac soldiers, using the graves of our Anzacs as some sort of a bargaining chip in this brand of diplomacy that they have been running against Australia, that if you recognise the Armenian genocide or allow the recognition of the Armenian genocide, we might close access to Gallipoli. When the New South Wales Parliament recognised for the second time the Armenian, Greek and Assyrian genocide, the Turkish Foreign Ministry formally said that visas would be rejected if any of those New South Wales parliamentarians were to go to Turkey to commemorate the Anzac history. We tried to bring a lot of attention to these issues at the time, tried to draw comment from the RSL and high-level parliamentarians saying that Turkey is using the Anzac graves of those who fought for this country and in the name of this country against us standing on the side of truth and justice on this important issue. And we only made very little headway. So when Erdogan actually made these comments, we thought that, you know, our issue should see the light, and that history of Turkey trying to use this issue against Australians doing what Australian values demand us to do needed to be aired. And obviously Alan Jones felt the same. He gave a great historical, accurate historical of what happened during the Armenian genocide. And then he invited me for comment on how the community is feeling. And I basically explained the sentiments that I just went through with you, Vahe. And I called on the RSL to strongly condemn these actions. I explained that parliamentarians in Australia, when we talk about recognising the Armenian genocide, sometimes say they're a little bit afraid at the way the RSL will react because of the close relationship between the Anzac legend and Turkey and Gallipoli. Should Turkey enact on their threat and close Gallipoli or close access to Gallipoli on an April 25th Anzac commemoration year, potentially they were afraid that the RSL will come out and actually condemn the politicians for recognising the Armenian genocide rather than condemn, you know, the Turkish government for trying to write Australia's foreign policy by using the graves of our Anzacs as tools in that quest. I think the diplomatic veil has now lifted. It's very clear what Turkey stands for when it comes to our history, and I think the RSL response can be to this issue, the more freedom with which we're going to be able to approach human rights issues generally as a country and ensure foreign policy is being written by Australians for Australia, not by some foreign dictatorship on the other side of the world, which is what Turkey currently represents.
Heike, I was really surprised how quick ANCA reacted to with a press release to Turkish president's comments. It was much, much later than the following day, I think, the Australian press reacted.
Yeah, well, we needed to be quick. We needed to make sure that, because we thought it was outlandish, those comments, and you just don't know. If we were a little bit concerned for about 24 hours that the Australian government wasn't going to react to this, and the press was, we just wanted to make sure that the press would push them for a response on it. And thankfully, our press release and also some of the action that came out of New Zealand in response to this, I think forced the media to realise this was an issue that needed addressing, and they asked Scott Morrison about it. Scott Morrison, again on Alan Jones, actually for the first time reacted, calling for calm, but at the same time saying that President Erdogan's comments were unfortunate. He later, and that he was calling the Turkish ambassador in for a talking to. He called the Turkish ambassador in, and after that meeting, he got in front of the press again in Canberra. And during that press conference, he said a few important comments that I think we need to keep pushing him on as society, as in the media as well, which is that the Turkish ambassador had provided him with some excuses around what those comments are. Those excuses were not acceptable to Prime Minister Morrison. And he was looking for conversations were continuing with other officials, and that he was looking for some sort of a correction or clarification or even a withdrawal of these comments from made by the Turkish president. The New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, also responded by saying that the Foreign Minister, Winston Peters, was already attending that part of the world, and he would meet with the Turkish authorities and also demand some sort of clarification and response. You know, days have passed since these very strong comments by the leaders of Australia and New Zealand, and the Armenian National Committees of Australia and of New Zealand are following what happens next very closely, because the Turkish president has not clarified those comments, has not withdrawn those comments, except for some spokesperson providing some sort of, you know, lip service to say that, you know, they were comments made, you know, in the heat of an election, etc. And that, you know, Winston Peters got up and he said that, oh, the video is not being shown again, and somehow looking satisfied at that result. A day after, the video of the Christchurch shooting was again shown by Erdogan. I think, you know, the Australian government, especially as far as I'm concerned anyway, needs to be continuing with this issue, making sure that, you know, the relationships it has with other countries are based on, you know, mutual respect and honesty and also some shared values. And I think that that is not the case with Turkey, but it's been hiding behind a diplomatic veil. That veil is now lifted, and we're hoping that the media and everybody else pushes this issue heavily so that we can get a more satisfactory response from the Australian government. And Turkey realises that it's not a country that can bully Australia into anything.
Heike, on another matter, last week you mentioned you were putting the final touches to the April 24 commemoration events. Has a decision been made? Do you know who will be the guest speaker this year?
Yes, yes, we do, Vahe. So on Wednesday, April 24th, there'll be two main commemorations. The National Armenian Genocide Commemoration Evening, the peak event of the April commemorations every year. That'll be held at the Chatswood Concourse, as always, at around, I think, 7 p.m. on the Wednesday, the 24th of April. At that commemoration, the keynote speaker will be Dr. Melanie O'Brien. Dr. Melanie O'Brien is actually based in the University of Western Australia, here in Australia. She's a senior lecturer in international law and also is the current second vice president of the International Association of Genocide Scholars. The International Association of Genocide Scholars is the peak body that brings together genocide scholars from around the world. She's an expert on genocide study. She was recently appeared in certain events in Canberra commemorating the 70th anniversary of the UN Genocide Convention, has very recently travelled to Armenia, to Turkey and other parts of the world, taking photographs of what many call the continuation of genocide, the destruction of historical and culturally significant sites in Turkey or in Western Armenia, She'll be showing some of those photographs and speaking to them, and explaining that the destruction of genocide extends beyond the physical. It's the first time we're getting a chance to hear from Dr. O'Brien as an Armenian genocide commemoration, and I think it's going to be a treat for our community to hear from her. Obviously, there'll be political guests of federal and state persuasion at that event. There'll be NGOs, there'll be media, and many hundreds of guests from our community. So I'm really looking forward to giving just commemoration to the victims of the Armenian Genocide at that event. On the same night, on the 24th, in Melbourne, at Springvale Town Hall, the Melbourne commemoration evening will be held. And the keynote guest there is Victoria-based genocide scholar, Dr. Donnelly Fries. Dr. Donnelly Fries is actually somebody who wrote a memoir about Raphael Lemkin, the guy who coined the term genocide for the UN Genocide Convention in 1948. So her research being presented will be fascinating. She's got international acclaim as well. There is a March for Justice being organised in Sydney on the 28th, the Sunday the 28th of April, that will start at Hyde Park and end in Circular Quay, going through Martin Place, which will be blocked off for the thousands of Armenians who will be marching in remembrance of those who were forced to death marches in 1915. A similar March for Justice will be organised in Melbourne the day before, on Saturday the 27th. And also on that 27th, the Saturday the 27th, the Ride Council's commemoration of the Armenian Genocide at the Meadowbank Memorial, dedicated to the Armenian Genocide, will also be held at 2:30 p.m. So there are a lot of events there in Sydney and Melbourne. There's also a commemoration organised on the 24th in Brisbane at the Woolloongabba, the multicultural hall over there. And there'll be other commemorations, I believe, that will be announced in a few other places, including one in Western Sydney and possibly in Perth and Canberra. So there's a bunch of things going on. And while it might be difficult for people to take notes while I was going through those dates and times, all of this information will be released over the coming days on armenia.com.au, on Armenia Online, but also on anc.org.au, which is our website, and we'll make sure the calendar event stays updated and also is enhanced with the church commemorations that will be going on, the special mass in Melbourne, the one in Sydney as well, which will be dedicated to the victims of the Armenian Genocide.
Ike, thank you very much for the interview. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Same, Vahe. Thank you.
We were talking with Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director, Ike Kayserian, on current issues that interest Australian Armenians.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.